Welcome to Risky Business News, a podcast on the recent news from the cybersecurity industry. This is Cătălin Câmpanu and today's show is brought to you by Thinxt, the makers of the much-loved Thinxt Canary. We start today's show with news that Microsoft Digital's Crimes Unit disrupted the infrastructure operated by Borium, a cyber espionage group operating out of Iran. Amy Hogan-Burney, DCU General Manager, said the DCU legal team successfully obtained a court order that granted Microsoft control over 41 domains used by the Borium group in spear phishing operations. The Microsoft exec said Borium used fake social media profiles, often posing as recruiters, and lured employees at targeted organizations on one of the 41 malicious sites. Here, they tried to collect their personal information, which they later used in subsequent email attacks that sought to infect victims with malware. According to Microsoft, Borium targeted customers in the US, Middle East, and India. Targets came from sectors including tech, transportation, government, and education. To date, Microsoft DCU team has used the US court systems to seize domains and server infrastructure for more than 24 cybercrime and espionage groups alike. Moving on to other news, Russian hackers have breached the systems of Ukrainian TV station OLL and have broadcast Russian propaganda during the Wales-Ukraine soccer match that decided which of the two teams will get to attend the World Cup later this year. Shortly after the attack was detected, OLL took down its TV feed and live-streamed the game on its YouTube channel. The Ukrainian TV station also formally confirmed the incident in a Facebook post on Sunday, blaming the attack on envious Russia, referring to the fact that the Russian soccer team was disqualified from the World Cup after its government invaded Ukraine earlier this year in February. In tech news, Google reached a settlement last week in a class action lawsuit filed in the state of Illinois. Illinois residents are eligible to receive part of a $100 million US settlement after an Illinois judge found that Google broke the state's Biometric Information Privacy Act after the tech giant used the face regrouping tool in the Google Photos app without users' express permission. Moving on to a couple of stories from Europe, Facebook has threatened to pull its WhatsApp service from the Netherlands if the local government continues with its plan to force the company to add a backdoor to its service, local media reported on Friday. In addition, in Germany, Der Spiegel reported last week that instant messaging service Telegram shared the data of some of its users with the German Federal Criminal Police Office, also known as the BKA. The report is the first known instance where Telegram has collaborated with the BKA. The German newspaper said the cooperation was related to cases of child abuse and terrorism. In some browser-related news, Mozilla plans to add a new privacy feature to Firefox version 102, set to be released later this month. The new feature is named Query Parameter Stripping and works by automatically removing tracking parameters from URLs to improve user privacy. The feature has been available since Firefox version 96, but will be enabled by default for all users in the next release. The Brave browser also has a similar feature. In similar news, Microsoft Edge browser now ships with a separate sandbox system for the browser's network component. The feature shipped with Edge version 102 released last week, but is disabled by default while its performance is still being tested. The feature previously shipped with Chrome in April in version 100, where it caused some issues in its initial rollout. In government-related news, Australia now has a dedicated Minister for Cybersecurity after Australia's new Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, appointed Claire O'Neill as the Minister for Home Affairs and Minister for Cybersecurity last week. In news from Russia, the Russian Ministry of Digital Development is working on a new legislation draft that will make tech company execs personally liable for the improper collection and storage of biometric data of Russian citizens. According to Kommersant, executives risk fines of up to 300,000 rubles, a ban from holding certain positions, forced labor, and even up to 10 years in prison. The draft legislation comes after last month, in May, Russia also made execs personally liable for their companies lacking IT security, with similar prison sentences on the table for severe security breaches. Moving on to malware and threat intelligence news, a recent report from security firm Trunk found that 75% of the RDP brute force attacks the company registered over the past week, tried to gain access to their systems via the administrator account. In a similar report released on Friday, Bot Detection and Mitigation Service CASADA said that it detected a 750% rise in the use of solver services to bypass existing bot detection systems. These solver services are typically maintained by cybercrime groups and provided as a paid service to other groups that want to engage in fraud against an online service such as an online retail store or social network and need to bypass their bot detection systems. Since our last show on Friday, security firms have also published a few interesting malware and APT reports. One of the most interesting ones is a report from CloudSec, which published a timeline and the evolution of Eternity, a financially motivated threat actor that has been selling worms, stealers, DDoS tools, and ransomware builders. In addition, Avast also published a report last week on an email spear phishing campaign that hit an Australian ISP and which weaponized the Folina Office 0-day. Microsoft linked this campaign to the Gadolinium or APT40 threat actor group. In terms of vulnerability news, NCC Group researchers published a technical analysis of two vulnerabilities in U-Boot, a bootloader popular in some Linux-based embedded systems such as Chrome OS and Android devices. In addition, Google also announced the winners of its Google Cloud Platform Vulnerability Research Program for 2021. The first place prize went to Sebastian Lutz, who found a bug in Identity Aware Proxy that an attacker could have exploited to gain access to a user's IAP-protected resources by making them visit an attacker-controlled URL and stealing their IAP authentication token. And last but not least, two very interesting tools were released last week. The first was released by ANSI, France's cybersecurity agency. The tool is called AnnoMark and can be used to detect anomalies in command line arguments run on a system. The second tool comes from Contrast Security, which made its CodeSec code scanning service free to use. This is it for today's news. Today's show was sponsored by Thingst. The company is currently at the RSA Security Conference in San Francisco, where you can visit their booth. You can find links to all the technical reports mentioned in this podcast in our newsletter at riskybiznews.substack.com, and you can subscribe to our podcast via our website at risky.biz.